In the classic Christmas story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, it tells a story of this green-looking monster, there's a picture of him up there, called the Grinch, who we know that everybody in Whoville, in the town of Whoville, loved Christmas. They loved it a lot, except the Grinch, he did not. People tried to figure out why the Grinch didn't like Christmas so much. A lot of people tried to speculate. Some thought maybe his shoes were on too tight. They fit too tight. And others said, no, it's because his heart was two sizes too small. And then he had a heart problem. And maybe that's what was tied to the fact that he could not stand Christmas. Every year when Christmas came, the Grinch hated it. And especially the singing. He hated the singing. And when the Whos would gather together around the town square, around the Christmas tree, and they would sing. And he hated that. So one year after watching it from his place where he lived up on top of the mountain, he decided, I got to stop Christmas from coming, he thought. He said, but how? So he thought and he thought. So he came up with a plan, as you know the story. He decided, I know what I'll do. I got to keep Christmas from coming this year. So he dressed himself up as Santa Claus, and he went down over the town, down over the mountain, as you know the story. He took all the belongings that belonged to the Whos. He took all their toys. He took the trees. He took all the food. He took everything, packed it up in bags, and he took it back up to the top of Mount Crumpet where he lived. Then he gleefully thought, I've won. I've kept Christmas from coming this year. And he gleed with his joy and his delight. And he thought, it kept it from coming. But he was not prepared for what he heard. Because as he was up on top of Mount Crumpet, he heard a voice coming over the snow Christmas morning. He thought, they're going to get up. They're going to be sad. They're not going to have Christmas. It's not going to come. I've won. And they get up and he hears a voice, a soft singing coming over the snow. Started stopping. It began to get louder and louder as the Whos were singing down below. And he thought, well, how could this be? Because he didn't stop Christmas from coming. It came. And it came without packages, boxes, and bows. And he began to think. And as Dr. Seuss put it, he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then he thought about something he hadn't thought of before. And that was maybe, just maybe, Christmas doesn't come from a store. And he thought about that, and as he was pondering it and thinking, listening to the singing from below, Dr. Seuss said something happened within the Grinch because he got a change of heart, and his heart changed. And it says his heart grew three sizes that day, and he was overwhelmed with the true meaning of Christmas. And he took everything back and he went down to the bottom of the hill and he took everything back and returned everything to them and he celebrated Christmas. He tried to keep it from coming, but he didn't. Throughout history, the real Grinch, not this guy, but the real Grinch, Satan, has been trying to stop Christmas from coming. Realize that? From the very beginning of time, he was at work with a plan trying to keep Christ from coming and bringing what he's come to do. It began with the war in the heavens when Satan himself lifted himself up before God, trying to take the place of God himself and says, I will be greater than the Most High. The star of the morning he was, the highest angel in all of heaven, but he wasn't content with Lucifer, the star of the morning dawn. He wanted to be greater. So he said, I will assault myself up to be greater than God. He led a rebellion. The pride in his heart over his inner beauty led to his downfall. A third of the angels of heaven joined him in that rebellion, and he was cast out of heaven to earth. But that wasn't the end of the story. That was really where it began. Because when he was cast out of heaven, his rage against God, he began to unleash on earth. And when he was brought into the garden, God placed Adam and Eve there. And Satan showed up in the form of a snake to deceive again. Thought, well, if I can't be greater than God, at least I'm going to go after God's creation, man. And I'm going to try to lead man away from God. And so he attempted Adam and Eve to rebel against God, saying, you won't surely die if you listen to me, if you eat of the tree, and you'll be like God yourself. The same thing he wanted to do. And he deceived Adam and Eve, as you know. And they took of the tree and they ate. And that war began. Leading to a day that God said to the snake, he said, one day, the seed of the woman, there's going to be enmity between your seed and hers. And the seed of the woman will one day, you will strike at his heel. And you will strike him, but he is going to crush your head one day. And God had made that prophecy to Satan. And he knew that that meant Jesus was going to come to bring redemption. That he was going to bring about, through the seed of the woman, eventually the plan of salvation. And Satan knew, as God told him. So he began with, I got to stop it from coming. I got to keep Christmas from coming, but how? And he thought and he planned and he schemed over the years. He tried many different ways. Time passed. God called a man named Abraham to become the leader of a great nation. He took him out of Ur, where he was living, where he worshipped many idols, and he followed him and said, follow me to a land I'm giving you. And Abraham put his faith and trust in God. And upon Abraham and his faith, God built a nation, a new people, the nation of Israel. They would become as known. And through Abraham, God said, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Because through Abraham, God was going to bring about the way in which the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, could come. And he set it into motion. Years passed. And Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac had a son, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Years passed that a famine came in the land of Canaan, and they had to go down to Egypt to live. And while they were there, Joseph was elevated to power. As you know his story, it's another one. But the famine came, and Joseph saved the nation. And then the Israelites began to get prosperous. And they began to grow there in Egypt. And the king of Egypt began had fearful, and he says, we can't have this. And so they began to enslave. Satan's plan in trying to stop the Savior from coming through the Pharaoh issued a decree. Remember that all boy Hebrew babies were to be killed. Why? Because Satan knew the prophecy. Satan knew that God had said that someday through the seed of the woman, the Messiah, the Savior, was going to come. And he was trying to do what he could to stop Christmas from happening. So he ordered that all baby boys be killed. But out of it, the Hebrew women, midwives, defied the order. And they continued to let the babies be born alive. Satan tried, but again, it wasn't successful. Years passed. Later on, a king came into power whose name was David, one of the greatest kings of Israel. You know his story. And God said that through David, eventually he would never end having a successor on the throne. And through David, the greatest king of kings would come. Through David would come that king who would reign with righteousness and with healing in his wings. Satan heard that word and said, we got to stop that Savior from coming. The plan through the line of David. So an evil queen arose by the name of Queen Adaliah. You may not have heard much about her. But Queen Adaliah rose to power. And she usurped the throne of the house of David for a brief time. And when she usurped the throne, the first thing she did was try to kill all the legal descendants of David's dynasty. Try to wipe them all out. But one was saved. She wasn't successful. She tried. Again, Satan trying to stop Christmas from coming. Years went on. Israel had disobeyed God, and they had fallen into captivity. God allowed them to be taken in captive into the town, into the city of into the country of Babylon. In Babylon, they lived in captivity under the time of Nebuchadnezzar and his successors Belteshazzar and now King Cyrus of Persians came into power. During the time, later on as it went on, King Artaxerxes came to power and his wife, by the name of Esther, came to be queen. During that time, a man by the name of Haman lived. And Haman came up with a scheme to try to have all the Jews and the whole kingdom of Persia, the world, killed and eliminated on one particular day. Remember that story? Why? Again, Satan trying to stop Christmas from coming. The Grinch, with his Grinchly plan, tried. But God exposed, if you read the book of Esther, how God exposed how he kept the king up at night and how he was reading in the accounts of what Mordecai had done for him. And the king said, what had ever been done for Mordecai to reward him for that? And he realized nothing ever was. And so Mordecai was elevated to the position of authority, an honor. And Haman's plan was exposed. And on the very gallows that he had built for Mordecai to be killed, Haman himself was killed. And the plan was exposed. And again, it was stopped. Every time that Satan tried to eliminate from happening, it didn't. Flash forward to where we are in Matthew chapter 2. We get to Matthew chapter 2, and now Jesus is here. Jesus was born after the time of his birth in Bethlehem. In the city of David, in the town of Judea, the news began to spread that the King of Kings was born. And wise men from the east who had seen the star in the sky, who some believe were astronomers able to study the stars and discern the signs from it, saw this great star and knew that something, this was signaling the birth of the king that had been prophesied. So they followed the light of that star, arriving at Jerusalem, where they would think the king of the Jews would be. They think surely the king of the Jews would be born in Jerusalem, the capital city. So they went there looking for him. And they go to King Herod's palace. And they said, we've come in search of the new king that was born. And King Herod heard this news. And it says that he was greatly, greatly disturbed. You say, well, why was he disturbed? You got to know King Herod. You talk about a Grinch? King Herod was a ruthless man. I mean, he was ruthless. And he was paranoid. And he was so ruthless and so paranoid that he ordered many of the executions of his own family because he was afraid they were going to take the throne away from him. He also was not Jewish. He was placed in his position of authority by the Roman government, by the Roman Caesars. And so he ruled in his position under Rome's authority, but he wasn't legitimately a Jew. So, if there became a Jewish king of the rightful son a line of David, you think he would feel threatened? He would say, hey, if there's really a legitimate heir to the throne here, I could lose my position of authority. It could be taken from me. And the people find out about that, they could rebel against me and put this king in place. And I would lose where I am. And so he was disturbed, and that's why. So he inquired of the wise men, well, where is he at? And the wise men said, well, we've come here looking for him. So the king, Herod, trying to act religious and cover his true intent, called the religious leaders over and said, well, what does the scripture say? Where is the Messiah supposed to be born? And they studied it out and said, well, in Bethlehem, it tells us. So King Herod said, well, you go to Bethlehem and you find him. And when you find him, you come back and let me know because I want to go and worship him too. Did he really? I want to go and worship him too, he said like this. So the wise men go, open up their treasure. You know the story. They found him. They worshipped him. But they were warned in a dream by God, don't go back to Herod because Herod has an evil intent. He wants to kill him. He does not want to worship him. So they departed another way. When King Herod found that out, as Jim read, when he found that out, he was even more furious. So God said to Joseph, get out of Egypt, get out of town, get out of Bethlehem, go to Egypt, take Jesus and go to Egypt, because King Herod is going to try to kill him. And King Herod ordered a decree that all boy babies, 2 and under, discerning, because that was the time that the wise men saw the star, believed that Jesus was maybe 2 by this point, 2 and under, ordered them to be killed and executed. But Jesus again escaped. God protected him and took him to Egypt. Satan's plan, again, was not successful. So it made me wonder, and it made me ponder. Did you ever just read some of the stories of Scripture and just reflect and ponder over some of them sometimes, and just use your imagination to think, what if this would have happened? God intervened and God protected Christ, and the Grinch, as he tried to steal Christmas, had a change of heart and didn't keep it from coming. But what if Herod had killed Jesus? What if the Lord had not spoken and intervened and protected Christ from him? What if the Grinch had actually stolen Christmas? What then? Where would we be? What would life be like for us should that have happened? And would that have happened? That's what I want us to reflect on this morning. Oh, that was introduction. Boy, you ready? But what if he had been successful? Revelation chapter 12. Before we get into this, turn with me there and let's take a look at what Revelation 12 says. Revelation 12, verse 1. Says, a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with a moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. I'm reading in verse 2 now. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. And his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. Of course, that dragon represents Satan. The dragon stood in front of the woman, who represents Mary, who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule the nations with an iron scepter, representing who? Jesus. And her child was snatched up to God in his throne. And the woman fled to a place in the desert prepared for her by God, where she'd be taken care of for 1,262 days. They're representing Israel. That's later on. But John saw the vision of Satan trying to destroy Christ. Standing in front of her, ready to devour him, was representing Herod and what we just read in chapter 2 of Matthew. And he tried to keep Christ from coming, but it didn't happen. He tried to stop Christmas, but he couldn't steal it. But what if he would have? What would life be like, life for us? Well, if he had been successful, if the Grinch had stolen Christmas, first, there would be no rejoicing. There would be nothing to rejoice about in life. Life would be meaningless. There would be no Christmas carols to sing. The beautiful Christmas carols that we sing this time of year, they wouldn't exist. There would be no bright lights and beautiful Christmas decorations. We wouldn't see the beauty that we see around us. There'd be no Christmas parties or family gatherings, no reason to get together and celebrate with our loved ones, with our families. There'd be no Christmas specials. Think of all those Christmas specials that are on. And ladies, there would be no Hallmark movies. What would Hallmark do if there wouldn't have been any Christmas for them to make all their movies about? and there would have been no hope. It would be like, life would be like what C.S. Lewis said in his book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. If you've ever read that book, when Narnia, the land of Narnia, was under the control and the influence of the White Witch who represents Satan. And when she had control of Narnia, C.S. Lewis described it as they were telling Edmund, Lucy, and Peter about it when they entered into the land through the wardrobe. They learned that it was always winter, but never Christmas. Could you imagine living life in an endless winter? Where, you know how short the day, how short the days are and how long the nights? Could you imagine like living your life in Siberia in winter all year long? After a while, that would really get to you. Ken Sears, when he spoke about to us about Ukraine a couple weeks ago, he was saying that in Ukraine, he said, under the Soviet Union, and he said, when they were controlled, he said, what they described, he said, everything was like black and white. I mean, drab. The color, everything was like drag. No color, nothing, no joy. That's how life would be like if Satan had won. There'd be nothing to celebrate, nothing to rejoice over, no meaning, no purpose in life. You say, Dan, that's kind of a downer. Well, that's what Satan wants to do. Bring us down, bring us discouraged. But you know, he didn't steal Christmas. He wasn't successful. He didn't achieve it. Christ was saved. His plan, Herod's plan, did not come to fruition. And so there is life. There is something to rejoice about. Life would have no meaning. But notice it says here in verse 10 that when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They were filled with joy and rejoicing because they knew that star was leading them to the Savior, to the King of Kings, the one worthy of worship. We can rejoice this morning, and we have joy in our life. And we have that joy and that inner peace that even in the midst of hard times, we still have joy and we can still rejoice because we know that our Lord lives and is triumphant. And we know that Satan is not successful. And we know that he is defeated and Christ has won. And so we can rejoice, we can sing. We have Christmas. We can celebrate because the enemy is defeated. His plan was not successful. Aren't you thankful? There'd be no rejoicing, nothing to be rejoicing, nothing at all. But the angel said, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy, which is for all the people. Today in the city of David, the Savior has been born. Christ the Lord." So if the Grinch had stolen Christmas, there would be no rejoicing. Also, if he had stolen Christmas, there would be no redemption. There would be no way to be saved. That's why Satan fought it. That's why he was fighting the whole timeline that I gave you with the introduction. That's why he was trying to keep Christ from coming, because he knew the prophecy. He knew that someday the crushing of his head, the striking of the heel, was whenever Jesus was put on the cross. And it looked like when he was put on the cross that Satan won. It looked like he had killed the Son of God. It looked like the plan of redemption was stopped. It looked, I finally won the war, he thought. And he struck at the heel. But at the resurrection morning, when Jesus came out of the grave in power, he crushed the head of that snake. And he defeated him forever. And the victory was won. And we have redemption. We have life. Because Jesus is alive. If Satan had been successful, if the Grinch had stopped Christmas, if King Herod was successful in his plan of killing Christ, the Savior would not have died. We would still be in our sin without the hope of redemption. And without the hope of everlasting life. And what kind of future would we have? When we lay a loved one in the grave in that case, there would be nothing to have hope in, because we wouldn't have the hope of being together. We wouldn't have the hope of resurrection, of newness of life. We wouldn't have the hope of being together in heaven again if Satan had won, if the king, Herod's plan was achieved. But, again, he didn't. And Christ rose from the grave and lives in power. And there would, because if there was no Christmas, then there would be no Easter. And if there was no Easter where Jesus died and rose again, there we would still be in our sin. And we would be lost, and we'd be without hope of eternal life. But the Satan's head was crushed. Christ has won. The Grinch tried, but did not steal Christmas. No rejoicing, no redemption. Third thing, what if the Grinch had stolen Christmas? What if he was successful through King Herod? There would be no resolve. What do you mean by that? Meaning that there would be no purpose in living. Verse 2 says that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem during the time of King Herod, the wise men from the east came and they asked, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? We had seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him." And that they had searched diligently, and these wise men were determined to find this king, and they traveled many, many miles from the east. It doesn't say where, but somewhere in the distant east. And they diligently and purposely left their home, setting out with resolve and with purpose to find this king, that they may worship him, that they may pay their homage. And they made a diligent search for him. And they had a resolve, they had a purpose, they had a meaning for their life because of Jesus. If Satan would have been successful and the plan would have been stopped and Christ would have been killed and Herod's plan was achieved, there would be no resolve for us in life. There would be no purpose or meaning for us. In that case, it would be as if Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, which was, he was quoting the thinking of the time, we may as well just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There's nothing to live for. There's no hope. There's no purpose or resolve. Nothing to give life meaning. And Satan, unfortunately, has a lot of people blinded to think that today, aren't there? There's people today that feel life doesn't really have any meaning. There's nothing to live for. And life is meaningless around us. And that's because he has deceived them to realize that they didn't realize what Christmas is really all about. They go through all the outward celebrations. They do this, maybe the singing, the decorating, the buying of gifts. And they go through all that, but they don't really understand the purpose and meaning behind it. And for them, there's no purpose or resolve for life. And it would have been that way for all of us if Satan had been successful. But praise God. Praise God he wasn't. Praise God that the Lord intervened, revealed to Joseph the plan, took Jesus to Egypt till King Herod died, and the threat was gone. Unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And we can rejoice. And life is different because one baby who was born and placed in a manger changed everything. That birth that happened there was so seismic and so cosmic that it changed all the events of human history from that point on. And Satan knew it. But greater is our God. We can rejoice this morning. We have something to rejoice in. We can have joy even in the midst of hard and difficult times. We can have peace that sustains us even through the most difficult times of life, because our Savior lives and has come to us. Emmanuel is here. We have redemption. We have that assurance of life everlasting, that our sins have been paid for, that we are set free, and that we will be with the Lord in heaven. Because Emmanuel is here. Christ has won. The grave is empty. And we have resolve. We have a purpose. We have something to live for. Because Christ is with us and in us and gives life meaning. And it's not everyday winter without Christmas. We have meaning. We have a purpose to live for. Because we have our Lord with us now and always. Praise God that the Grinch and all his Grinchly plans was not successful and did not stop Christmas from coming, but it came just the same. Because God is greater and God has won. Thank the Lord for the power of Jesus and what this day means to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus has won. That the great enemy of our souls, who has been fighting against you from the very beginning, was not successful. Yes, he may win some battles, but he will not and has not won the war. And at his first coming, at your first coming, Lord, you crushed his head. You defeated him at the cross and at the resurrection. And in that second coming, when you come again, you will defeat him for all time. And he will be thrown into that eternal lake of fire where he will no longer be able to bring about any of his evil plans or attacks. He cannot win the war. And we thank you, Lord, that you have won it through Jesus Christ. Greater are you. And we praise you. And that life has meaning. We can rejoice. And even as we're going through hard and difficult times now, even as we go through dark days, we know, Lord, that the war has been won. Satan is defeated. And it gives us strength to live victoriously and confidently now, even as we wait for your return. Even as we go through times of suffering, we know that the war has been won by you. Lord, we also thank you that we can rejoice and are redeemed. We are set free because Christ has had victory over the cross and come out of the grave and has died for us. And we thank you as well, Lord, that we have meaning, we have resolve and purpose in life because of you, because of what you've done for us, and because of your presence with us. So, Lord, may we truly celebrate what this day means to us, and that you are the victorious one, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, who will someday come again and rule forever. And you is our hope, and you is our trust, and in you we rejoice. Thank you, Jesus. And it's your name we pray. Amen.